Our topic today is in understanding be matured. In understanding be matured. Let's say it together. In understanding be matured. Again, in understanding be matured. Where it's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. God wants us to be matured in our understanding. He doesn't want us to remain children every day. He wants us to grow into maturity. It takes spiritual maturity in the Word of God for you to really understand and enjoy the inheritance that belongs to us as children of God. It takes spiritual maturity for you to even see those inheritances in the Word of God, for you to understand them, and for you to be a partaker of them. There are so many things, so many goodies that God has prepared for us as children, and they are all in Christ Jesus. Protection is there. Provision is there. Good health is there. Whatever, name it, everything that you need right from the day you're born again to the day you're called to heaven. Everything that you need is all there, packaged, sealed, and handed over to you as a child of God. But it takes maturity in the Lord. Maturity in understanding the scriptures for you to begin to even see those things. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Ephesians 1 18. Let's read it together. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people. This is Paul's prayer, that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, that you will receive the knowledge, that it will be flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, because this one is not a carnal knowledge. It has to be done by the Holy Spirit. Why? So that you will know and cherish. You will not only know it, but you will cherish the hope, the divine guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's a done deal. Those inheritances are done deal. The confident expectation. It's something you confidently look forward to because it's yours by right. It's your legal right as a child of God. And he said, to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. The riches of his glorious inheritance, where? Where? No, look at the scripture. Oh, you don't have it? The riches of his glorious inheritance is there in the saints. Didn't he say in the saints? They took it out. It's in the saints. Who are the saints? We are the saints. So those inheritances, they are already there in you. If you are a saint, if you are a child of God, it's already in you. You may not know it. Whether you know it or not, if you have ever met Jesus the Lord over your life, it's already in you. Amen? So his glorious inheritance is in the saints. It is in Christ Jesus, in the saints. So if it's in Christ Jesus and Christ is in you, it's in you. Amen? If it's in Christ Jesus and Christ is in you, then it's in you. And this is the main reason why our Father wants us to mature, so that we'll be able to begin to understand what is ours, those inheritances, and for us to begin to partake of them. For us to begin to partake of them. When you don't have the revelation of what belongs to you, you will do without. you don't know what belongs to you, somebody else will take it from you. You will do without it, even though it's your legal right. And that is why our coming to church, encouraging us to come for Sunday school, is just to help us to understand the basic things so that we'll be able to begin to mature into understanding the solid things about Christianity, so that you begin to be able to stand your ground and take what belongs to you. I remember the first demonstration they made here, how this young guy, you know, tried to resist by strength, and he fell, and they took all that belongs to him. But when he came in the strength of the Lord, understanding who is in him, the Holy Spirit, he was able to stand his ground and recovered all that belonged to him. This is what the Father wants you and I to know. You know the authority that you have in Christ. You know the power that is in you. You know that Jesus is in you. You know that the Holy Spirit is in you. You go in that power. You go in that mind and possess all that belongs to you as a child of God. And God, in his mercy, gave us gifts to the church. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 15, the Bible said there, from verse 11, it said, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to do what? Is to do what? To equip God's people. Who are God's people? We that are born again. To equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And he said, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of who? Knowledge of God's Son who is in us. Knowledge of God's Son who is in us. Knowledge of God's Son who is in us, that we will be mature. So you see, this is not going to stop until Jesus calls us home. Till we mature in the Lord, measuring up to what? Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Measuring up to the full and complete standard. God wants us to come up to the standard of the one that is in you. I don't forget, you know, there's somewhere in the Bible where the Bible said that, you know, that they were accusing them of not paying tax. And Jesus simply told Peter, even while he was here on earth, he said, go to the sea. The first fish that comes, open it, its mouth, and then take the money there and pay for you and I. God wants you and I to have that kind of power, that anything you need is at your beck and call. He needed to feed the 5,000 with only two fish and five loaves of bread. He just lifted up his hands. He wants us to come up to the measure of the standard of the power that is in us. He wants us to begin to experientially enjoy the power that, you know, we have. All that belongs to Jesus belongs to you, and he's in you to back you up at any time. But you need to be matured in the revelation of who he is, and that the Father is in you, to have that faith that he's actually there in you. Anywhere you find yourself, you are never alone. Amen? So he said, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and know and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. And you know, usually those things come, especially when the devil throws one of his tantrums on you. And because you are not matured in who you are in the Lord, you begin to look for help left, right, and center. And the devil will offer you dummy through those that, like they were saying today, Holy Ghost, fire. And, or they will tell you, bring money, and they will pray for you, and everything will be okay. It's simply because you are immature in who you are in the Lord. And this is the reason why God has given us teachers, apostles, pastors. And this is the reason we keep encouraging encouraging us, come to church. You are not doing the pastor good. It is for your own good. God wants you to be mature. The people that taught us, they are not even here. Then we are on our own, enjoying the revelation that we for ourselves have dug up from the word of God, and is benefiting us. It is for your own good. Amen. And this is why Paul prayed this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 21. He was praying for the church. He said, pray, asking God that Jesus would dwell by faith. That is, you don't have to look at yourself just the way you are. Always understand that if you have ever made Jesus the Lord over your life, there is, you are not alone. There is a personality in you, and that is Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, God the Son is in you. You are never alone. So verse 18 is saying that you may be fully capable of comprehending. What does it mean to comprehend? What? To understand. So you see what he's saying? He's saying in our text, in our talk, in understanding be what? What is our topic again? In understanding be what? Be mature. He said, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, not some of the saints, so that includes every one of us. With all the saints, God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love. Fully experiencing that amazing, endless love. How will you fully experience it if you don't go to the scriptures to see what is written about you? Verse 19, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience. He doesn't just want you to have head knowledge, but he wants you to know practically. How do you know practically? How do you know practically? Through experience, which means to prove God, and God wants us to prove him. He said in a Romans chapter 12 verse 2 that you should come, let me change the way you think. I said that you might be able to prove what is that good. What does it mean to prove? When things come, like I have proved God, I've gone through a number of challenges in my life, and I stood by the word of God, and I came through successfully, so that anything that comes my way again, I say, the same God that saw me through in this, that saw me through in this, that saw me through in that, he too will see me through in this. And this one too has come to pass. God wants us to prove him. So he said in that verse 19, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. The love of God. You don't know the love of God if you have not experienced it. If danger, like I read about a lady that went to church, and they were teaching on Psalm 91. He said he shall keep you under his feathers. And this lady was just a new Christian. He said while she was coming back, they hijacked, about two men hijacked her on the way, dragged her to a very black place, a dark place, and she just started shouting, "Feathers, feathers." That was all she remembered. And they ran away. And then she came out and she was giving testimony. See how God just used that little word. They didn't understand what she was saying, but they all left her. She was just shouting, "Feathers, feathers, feathers." And they ran away. And she was able to be free. Amen? So now, if you're telling her that God protects, she's going to tell you, "Yes, I had this experience. And God delivered me." When you have practical experience and you stood by the word of God and you come out of it successfully, you have proved God. And this is what God desires. You see, to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses men's knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives. You may have the richest experience of God. How do you know that God is with you? It's when challenges come and you choose to stand by the word, because you know the word, because you know who you are. and then you will experience God. And then you begin, your life becomes a testimony to others around you. You will not easily be moved because you know. You will, like Job say, I know in whom I have believed. Amen? And verse 20 said, now, to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. Look at what the Bible is saying there. That God is able to do what? Super abundantly, more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power. Not according to your power. According to his power that is at work within us. I used to wonder, if this is the case, why am I experiencing this and that? Until when I began to, in studying the word of God, I began to understand that God would need my cooperation. And that was why Paul started this prayer by saying that Christ may dwell in you by faith. That you will understand that he's right there with you, in his power, in his might, in his glory. Whatever it is about your life, he is able to do infinitely beyond your greatest prayers. He is able to do super abundantly more than. But you have to cooperate with him by faith. And how do you cooperate with him by faith without actually fellowshipping with the word of God, so that you will be fully persuaded? If the word says this, so, when you're fully persuaded that God promised this, as far as I go, that's it for me. He's able to do super abundantly above. But he needs you to agree with him. Two cannot work together except they are in agreement. You have to agree with him. Then he's able to do, no matter what it is, he's able to do it. But you have to cooperate. And this is why you have to fellowship with the word of God. You have to study the Bible. You have to come for Sunday school so that you understand the basics. And then you begin to grow from one level of glory to another level of glory. You begin to get mature in the Lord. So that whatever comes, you hold on to the word of God, you stand by the word of God, and the word of God will come through for you. Amen? So no matter who you are, the word of God works for you. If you are a child of God, if you are born again, the word of God will always work for you. Some people commit themselves more to the word of God than the others. Some people, take the word of God casually because they don't see the need of it. But my sister was encouraging us this morning to let us know that God framed the world by his word. He just simply said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Bible said the world was framed by the word of God. And if the world was framed by the word of God, he framed the world by his word. And he created you in his image. What makes you think that you can change anything in your life any other way other than the word of God? It is by the word of God you will frame your life, you will frame your career, you will frame your health, you will frame your provision. By the word of God, you frame everything about your life. By the word of God, you make all those inheritances that are yours happen for you so that you will experientially touch them. There is no other way. There's no running away from this. Every time we gather here, all we are sharing is the word of God, because it is the word of God that makes things happen. Before Jesus was ever born, it had to be spoken out. The world was framed by the word of God, and God made you in his image, and God expects you to frame your world with your words, and that your world has to be the word of God, because the word of God has life in it. The power for Peter to walk on water was just simply on that word, come. The moment he had that word, come, he stepped. stepped into water and he was able to walk on water. The word of God has inherent power in it. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God will tell you the motive behind whatever you're doing. The word of God will guide you. The word of God will protect you. The word of God will do whatever. Amen? So, some people give themselves more to the word of God than the other, and you see them taking advantage of what belongs to them in Christ. But there are some that they would rather want a man of God to come and wave their hands on them so that they will fall down. And because they don't want to spend time studying the word of God. They don't want to be at Sunday school. They don't want to meditate on the word of God. You are doing yourself a disservice, and you're doing your family a disservice. You become a mincemeat for the devil. When he knows that you don't know, God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He doesn't want us to remain babies. He wants us to grow. Turn to your neighbor and say, grow up. Turn to the other person and say, grow up. Amen? We have to grow up. We have to wake up to know that you can't run away from the word of God. I listened to one program over the television. They said there's a survey that showed that those who go to church, that they have found out that they carried a survey. They found out that those who go to church seriously and are committed to the cause of Christ, that they grow happier and healthier and they live longer. That's what they said. I listened to that over the television about 3 or 4 years ago. And I was just looking at these scriptures. In Psalm 16 verse 11, it says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasure forever. Because you know how to let off, let go and let go. Because you keep hearing the word of God. You have learned how to cast your burdens upon him. So what will weigh others down? You have learned to know that God is a pillar that holds your life. You keep hearing that and you're holding on to that. It is important that we grow in the Lord. My husband was sharing with us, I think that was on Thursday, how, the challenges that he had over his health and how he stood by the word of God. I knew that something was wrong. But, I would usually come and say, Kim Love, are you okay? He said, yes, I'm okay. I'm coming, he said, are you okay? Maybe you need rest. He said, no, I'm okay. But he would stay in the living room. He held on to the word of God. He kept on speaking out the word of God. And finally, he scaled through it victoriously. Amen? He was sharing that with us on Thursday. And then on Friday, I don't know where it came from. I said, I'm going to preach on Sunday. I said, devil, you're a liar. I had to stand on the word because I said, this is what God has given me to preach. My inheritance includes health, provision, healing. And I said, devil, Jesus is my Lord. You are not my Lord. With this, my body, I submit only to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can't pin this on me. My Father is my healer. He already healed me. You can't pin this on me. I said, you take it out. I only submit to him, to Jesus. And he came and he destroyed your works. And that includes this thing. So I can't have it. I said, so you take it out. It doesn't belong here. I know my inheritance. And I stood and I kept on resisting. And I'm able to stand before you today. Amen? If you don't know who you are and what you have, the next thing is, you will just succumb to it. You will succumb to it. It is so very important that you get a job so that you won't be children that are tossed to and fro. when your eyes of understanding are enlightened, you will understand that the plan of redemption is complete. Nothing to be added, nothing to be removed. You will know that God did a thorough work for you. God did a thorough work for every single one of his children. And then you won't be Jesus Beggar. God, come and be with me. I'm asking that you come and be with me. What's wrong with that? Why will you be, if you know who God said he is and what he has said about you and him, is it right to ask him to come and be with you? I'm asking. Is it right? It's wrong, because he's there with you. He said, I will never leave you, nor what? So why will you be asking God, come and be with me? Go with me. When he said he will never leave you, nor forsake you. Amen? That's a total wrong thing. That's making God a liar. You say, God, draw near to me. No, don't let me go empty-handed. Is this his responsibility, not to make you go empty-handed? He said, draw nigh to me. Is that not what he said? Did he say that you should beg him to draw nigh to you? He said, you should do what? He's there. He's not moving anywhere. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you sense that he's not there, you should go back, you know, go back to where you are. He's right there with you. Amen? He said, never let me go. Which one is that? Never let me go. Whose responsibility is that? You are to draw nigh to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. So, if you feel that he has left you, you should go back to him. Because he hasn't moved an inch from where he is. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I want you to make me feel that I'm your friend. But he said, you are my friends. We are not only his friends, but we are his precious sons and daughters. Amen? So you see, some of the things we say and we sing in song, we are telling God, I don't think this thing that you said in your word, I don't think you mean it. You understand what I'm saying? It takes maturity. When you hear people singing that or saying that, when you know, then you won't be part of it. You won't be part of it. It is important that we get matured in what the word said. And what it simply means is that you are not conversant with what the word said about you. You don't fully understand your inheritance. You can go with the rhythms of the song, it's so emotional, it touches your emotion, but that is not faith. You go by what the word said. It is the word of God that gives us the spiritual maturity to be able to harness or enjoy or partake of all that belongs to you as a child of God. And God has given us his spirit so that we might fully experience all that belongs to us in him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible said there, now we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us. Even that alone, when I read this scripture, it really, I say, God, thank you that I have your spirit in me. Anywhere, anytime, your spirit is there with me. He's there to guide me. He's there to direct me. He's there to comfort me. He's there to encourage me. He's there to teach me. You see, that, excuse me. He said that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate, that we might realize by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you come to realize and comprehend. That comprehension is what, again, understand and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. By His Spirit that is in us. And His Spirit is in everyone that has ever said yes to Jesus. He's right there with you. You need to understand who you are. You need to understand the power that resides in you. And He said that He has given us His Spirit. He said in Matthew chapter 13 verse 11, He said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is in you. If Jesus the King is in you, the kingdom of heaven is in you. Wisdom comes through the mouth of God, according to Proverbs chapter 2 verse 6. It says, for the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you need skillful and godly wisdom, it's by the Word of God. As you keep hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and hearing the Word of God, you'll be so mature. There are some people that are 40 years, but they act like 20 years. There are some people that are 30 years, they act like 20 years. And it can only be simply because you are not mature. It is by the Word of God that you gain wisdom. Wisdom to act right. Wisdom to behave well. Wisdom to know how to relate with people. Wisdom to handle things. Wisdom to marry. It is by the Word of God. Paul said to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1, he said, I have to talk to you as though you belong to this world, or as though you were infants in Christ. And yes, some of them we are prophesying, some of them we are praying, giving the prophet, the gifts of tongues, because they were not matured in the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 5:11-14, he said there, concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. I was looking for the word slothful. It says slow moving, inactive, lacking energy or alertness. That is, travelizing the Word of God. He said, you are in having. Dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. I mean, listen to that. I will repeat it again. Concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing, not physical hearing, that is hearing the Word of God, dull in hearing the Word of God, and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's Word. You have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskillful in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary, either to divine or human law. Amen? Say, when you are supposed to be a teacher, it doesn't mean that everybody will become a teacher. There are different gifts that God has given to the church. There are some that are helpers. But then what is he saying generally? And there are some churches you go to, or there are some groups that you meet. You don't even know where to start. Maybe they're asking you something. You're just trying to figure out where to start because they are way, way too far off. That's how it is with some. because they are not really paying attention to the word of God. They are not giving in to knowing. They are not even desiring to know what belongs to them as children of God. They are not hungry for the word of God. They are not hungry to know the power that resides in them so that they will begin to be partakers of what God has made available for them. They are still babies. And this is why we encourage us to come for Sunday school so that at least we pass through the elementary things. Like he said in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 to 3, he said, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turned to God. He wants us to get past the elementary things. What we do at the Sunday school, these are the elementary things. But if you don't get through those elementary, they are like the foundational things. If you don't understand those foundational things, then it will be difficult for you to understand the higher things. And that's why we want everybody to pass through these elementary things. Get through to them. He said, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrines of Christ the Messiah. Say, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual world, maturity. And he wants us to mature spiritually. Say, let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, teaching you, you don't have to do this, you have to do this, no. So this is why we encourage us to come to Sunday school. And you know, in this church, we have different classes so that when you go, start from the basic, beloved brother was explaining this to us in the morning, you know, the newcomers or new converts or visitors class, and then from there you get to the other ones so that it won't be too much for you. We can't lump all of them together. So that as you begin to get mature in this, you begin to understand the basic things about Christianity. Where I got born again, I didn't understand the basic things about Christianity. I was just a novice, yet I was born again, and it got to a point where they made me to even be leading life center, yet I didn't know anything. But thank God when I came to Foursquare and they had this Sunday school set up, it was at Foursquare I began to understand what Christianity is all about. When we started this Sunday school classes, and we joined them, that was how I began to understand Christianity and what it's all about. Yet I was born again for many years leading life center and not understanding what Christianity is all about. It's at Sunday school that you get to know all these things. And you see, well, the moment somebody is born again, we encourage that person to start fellowshipping with the word of God, start coming to church so that you grow. Because your heart is made in such a way that whatever you plant in it will grow. Whatever you plant in your heart is designed in a way to grow. Amen? If you plant anger, it will grow. If you plant lust, it will grow. The things you watch, and he loved me, and he didn't love me, and he touched you here. Before you know it, you will look for an opportunity to experience those things. You watch, you know, oh! Before you know it, when somebody talks to you, you also say, whoa! Whatever you plant in your heart will grow. So you can imagine when you spend time planting the incorruptible seed of the word of God in your heart. And that is what is growing in you. The Bible says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts him. Because you're planting the word of God in you, the word of God will grow to things that are beautiful, that are lovely, that will enjoy. The word of God will give you peace, will give you protection, will give you provision, will give you whatever you can think of. And you will lie down and you will sleep peacefully. When I didn't know much of this and I wasn't giving attention to it, I wasn't really studying the word of God, either somebody is chasing me in the dream, or I'm chasing somebody in the dream, or I'm swimming, or this and that. Or it always always one frightful thing or the other. Then when I begin to fill my heart with the word of God, fill my heart with the word of God, oh my goodness, today, I just sleep, The Bible says dream comes through mustard of business. You can imagine where that mustard of business is the word of God. So God wants us to grow and mature in his word. He wants us to grow and mature and take what belongs to us. And many times the void in our lives can only be filled by God through fellowshipping with his word. If where you are today, you are not happy about it, think of what you have been planting in your heart. Is it the word of God? Because the word of God is the incorruptible seed. The word of God will bless you. Because the word of God is who? The word of God is God. The word of God is God. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it said, no creation exists that is concealed from his sight. No creation exists that is concealed from the word of God. No creation, because the word of God is God. It said, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of him with whom we have to give account. Amen. See, you know, I was reading this thing about Jesus Christ, how he spoke to the fig tree, to that no man eats fruit from you. And the Bible said there that he answered and said, I think he answered, which means the fig tree spoke to him. If you understand that everything has a voice and they are speaking to you every day, the only answer to whatever is speaking to you, contrary to what the word said about you, is the word of God. And you have to respond back to them. Jesus answered and said to the fig tree, you are to, when you get matured in the word, then you begin to answer back, like I was sharing with you this morning, that I had to say, oh, no. You can't pin this on me. This is not for me. Nobody was there to help me, but I was there, and I had to fight the good fight of faith. And I won my victory, just like my husband fought, and he won his victory. So you have to speak to issues. You speak to your pocket. You speak to your health. Pain shows up, you speak to it, because that is not what Jesus gave you. If Jesus is in you, he's not in pain. He said, no. That pain, you know where it's coming from. The Bible said that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan, and part of it is sickness. Part of it is that pain. So you don't allow it. You disallow it. What are you supposed to do? The Bible gave you your tongue. And he said, for you, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You are to use your mouth and curse what is not in line with the word for you. You curse the pain. It might still be there. You curse it. You keep cursing it. But the moment you speak it in faith, that thing already dies. It's a matter of time. Like Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and it looked like it was still alive. But by the time they're coming around there the next time, they saw that it has withered. Because the moment you curse it, it dies at its root. Just give it time. I have a number of things that had come on me, and I kept on using the word, I curse it. You can't go for no further. And they all end up fizzled out. No medication whatsoever. Nothing at all. A number of things. I can't begin. I have a lot of testimony. The word of God works. The word of God will always produce. It's, the Bible called it incorruptible seed. Any other seed can be corrupted, but the word of God is incorruptible. Amen? The Bible said he has magnified his word above his name. Which means the moment you speak that word, it carries its power and gets to work. And God said that his word will not return to him. He is the power that backs his word. He guarantees that he will surely not return to him. So we should be wise in spending time on the word of God. Be wise. this church, we have different ministries, and the reason is so that we'll be able to reach you at different levels, and so that you gain understanding of this inheritance and who you are in the Lord. We have the children ministry, we have the youth, we have the adults, the women, men. We have different ministry, business ministry, so that whatever angle of life, you're hearing things that are biblical that will help you to stand strong and tall and bold in every matter of life. Amen? No wonder Paul commends us to, he said in Acts 20:32, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. To the word of his grace. It is by the word of his grace that you are built up and you enjoy your inheritance as a child of God. By the word of his grace. And to the degree to which you fellowship with the word of God is to the degree to which your soul is saved and to the degree to which you enjoy your inheritance as a child of God. If you look at Psalm 119, verse 98, David said there, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Your words are always with me. I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers because of your word. Because of what? Because of your word. That he has better understanding and deeper insight. That's it in the 100. For your testimonies are my meditation. My meditation. I understand more than the aged who have not observed your precepts, because I have observed and kept your precepts. How sweet are your words to my taste? Verse 103. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 130. The unfolding of your glorious words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding to the simple. That is, those who are childlike. Those who are poor in spirit that understand that, look, it has to be God or nothing else. Verse 165 says, those who love your law, that's your word, have great peace. Nothing makes them what? Stumble. Nothing makes anyone who loves the word of God stumble. There is absolutely nothing that will make anyone who loves the word of God stumble. This is what the Bible says. Those who love your word have great peace. Nothing makes them to stumble. No one is blessed with more, you know, spiritual blessing than the other. The pastor is not blessed with more spiritual blessing than any of us. But if you choose to give attention to the word of God, it's going to cost you a lot of entertainment. But at least you'll be better off for it. You will enjoy peace. You will enjoy greater health. You will enjoy greater joy. It calls for a life of separation. For you to spend time to study the word of God. When others are still sleeping, you wake up to study. Or when they're still busy entertaining themselves, you're sitting up in the night, you're studying because you want to grow to maturity. So it will cost you your entertainment and pleasures, but you will be far, far, much, much, much more better off than the others. All that pertains to life and godliness, God has already given to us in Christ. That's what the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1. No, verse 3 said, for his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Verse 4, for by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value. What you have in you is of inexpressible value. The Spirit of God in you that is given to you know and comprehend and realize what the scripture said of inexpressible value. We sing a song, something more than gold, something more than gold. The spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. It's of inexpressible value, so that by then you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of this reputable desire and become sharers of the divine nature. God wants you to become a sharer of the divine nature. There is no failure or defeat for any child of God. None at all. That is not the design by your father. He loves you too much to make room for that kind of thing. But when you don't know who you are, what you have, what has been made available to you, you do without. What do you think will make your father to prepare a banquet for you, a table before you, in the presence of your enemies? In Psalm 123, the Bible said in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my brimming cup runs over. Verse 6 says, surely all only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. What do you think will make your father, who loves you so dearly and knows that the devil hates you, to prepare a table before you, a table of provision before you, in the presence of your enemies? Remember that when they told us about coming to America, I said, no. I said, my husband, please, we are not going anywhere. I've heard so much about this country. There are the students there on drugs, this and this, and so many. I started listing out the evils of the land. I was just speaking out my own belief. If I knew then what I know today, I would have known that was unbelief I was speaking, because there is no place evil is not. There's evil in Nigeria, there's evil here, and there's evil all over the world. If I want to do away with them, then I might as well go home. You take your children to school, you're not there with them. There's evil everywhere. There are bad people everywhere. Now, when God told the children of Israel to go possess the land, they started crying. They have giants and all that. What do you think will think of it, that God knew that those giants were there, and yet he said, go possess the land. Yes, they are there. But Joshua and Caleb said, though the giants may be on our way to hinder, God will surely give us victory. We that are children of God, though the giants may be on our way to hinder, God has already given us victory, and our victory is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's why the Bible says we triumph always in Christ Jesus. You know, evil is everywhere, but where sin abounds, the grace of God much more abounds. That's what the Bible said. So, and that's why we are called overcomers more than conquerors. We triumph always in Christ. But the Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so long as we are in this world, we must understand who is the God of this world and who is he? Who is the God of this world? The devil. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said he's the God of this world. Amen. So that's why he warned us that we should be sober. We should be vigilant. Because we are not of this world and we have an enemy. Our citizenship is from heaven. So if you have spiritual maturity, you will know that your citizenship is from heaven. You don't have to live your life here like as if your citizenship is from this world. So you begin to imbibe knowledge from the place where you have your citizenship. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, verse 8, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. How many times? At all times. How many times? At all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But he said, but resist him, be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world, you do not suffer alone. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. To him be dominion, power, authority, sovereignty, forever and ever. Amen? So he warns us ahead of time, because the devil is the god of this world. In according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Adam turned the lease of this earth over to him. Remember when he was tempting Jesus, he said, if you bow and worship me, I'm going to give you all of these things. He said in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, therefore, it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. Who turned it over to him? It was Adam. He turned it over to him. So he's working hard with all manner of gadgets and devices to distract you, to blind your eyes towards the word of God, because he knows that the moment you know the truth, you know, he will lose his dominion over you. Then you begin to enjoy your victory. So he tries to defeat you in every occasion, and then he will turn around, make you think that it is God. Then we know that God is a good God. We know that Jesus is a replica of the Father, and he went about doing good, and he's still doing good. The devil is a bad devil. He tries to obscure, he blinds the minds of the unbelievers, according to that 2 Corinthians 4:4. And if you allow him, he will blind your eyes, even as a believer, that you wouldn't know what belongs to you through ignorance. And someone asks, Why is he not taking him? If God knows that it's like that, why didn't God take him out? You know, I enjoyed a lot of ministration when Pastor Victor was teaching us every December. And I invited to come around in December. You'll enjoy so much so to you understand why God cannot violate his word. Because God already gave the place to Adam, and God is not going to change his word until the time appointed comes. That is why he is still here. Remember when the devil was in one man, and Jesus came, you know, to cast that man out. When the man showed up there, the devil spoke up and said, "Have you come to torment us before the appointed time?" There's an appointed time. Because Adam handed the lease of this land over to him, we are living with him. You can't help it. So that is why you must have to study to grow, to mature, to stand in your authority as a child of God. So that when he shows up, you shut him down. You put him where he belongs. Where does he belong? Under your feet. But if you don't know it, he will eat your cake and punch you back. Because you allow him through ignorance. And when I was reading about Sambalat and Tobiah and then Nehemiah, he showed up there. What did they do? They were walking and at the same time defending themselves. God wants you to enjoy, to be partaker of all that he has made available to you. And when the devil shows up, you put him where he belongs, and you keep on enjoying every blessing that is yours in Christ Jesus. But it takes spiritual maturity to be able to do that. That is why you must grow. You must grow. You must choose to grow as a child of God. You must choose to show up at Sunday school, at Life Center, Bible studies, Sunday services. Don't allow the devil to trick you by pointing you to your problems. Say, you see, now there is no money. You better do this, better do that. And you leave the main demand. The main demand is the word of God. It is by the word of God that you control, you frame your world. By the word of God, you establish yourself. There is no other way. You know, God told the children of Israel through Moses that they should not allow this word to depart from their mouth, that they should teach it to their children. They should focus on the word of God. If you give heed to the word of God will put you where you belong, and you'll be happy. Better off for it. Give attention to the word of God. show up at Sunday schools to get through the elementary things and get mature, and your life will blossom. Amen. Your life will do what? Blossom. Shall we all rise?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.